Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Presidential campaigns can get ugly, and this year's did. Some of the toughest hits fell, sometimes indirectly, on Muslims. They weren't in the race, but sharp-edged questions and assertions about Barack Obama's religion and associations turned into a kind of running smear on Muslims. It took Colin Powell to say, hey, what's wrong with being Muslim in America? Nothing. This hour on Point, American Muslims look back on a tough, hurtful campaign and ahead to an Obama presidency. You can join the conversation. What did you make of the way Muslims were practically demonized in the presidential campaign? And Muslim listeners, were you hurt? Did you take it in stride? What are your hopes now for an Obama era? We have three American Muslims joining us today to look at what just happened and how they are looking ahead. Joining me from New Rochelle, New York is Farouk Kathwari. He is chairman, CEO, and president of Ethan Allen Interior, the American home furnishings giant. He grew up in Kashmir, moved to the United States to get his MBA in the 1960s, became chairman and CEO of Ethan Allen in 1988. We're very pleased to have him. Farouk Kathwari, thank you very much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be with you, Tom.
With us from Washington is Sabra Jafarzadeh. She is a law clerk in the U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland, was born and raised in Maryland. Her parents are Iranian. She's 24 years old. Sabra, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
And with me in the studio in Boston is Robert Azzi. He's a photojournalist who spent 30 years covering the Middle East for Time, National Geographic, Newsweek, and others. He's now an advisor to Muslim and Middle Eastern students at Phillips Exeter Academy in Exeter, New Hampshire. His family is from Lebanon. Robert Azzi, thank you very much for being here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
We're really looking forward to hearing all of your thoughts on what we've just been through. I want to play some tape first. Some of it is hard to hear. Some of it is peculiar to this presidential campaign season, and some from Colin Powell kind of inspiring. Let's start right here with a very right-leaning talk show host, Michael Savage, February 2008. This is a show heard by on 350 stations by 8 million listeners each week, and there's a lot of the tone of this campaign right here in this bit.
Now, what about the Muslim connection to Obama? Barack Hussein Obama, father Muslim, grandfather Muslim, nothing wrong with that. But we, the American people, being at war with radical Islam, have a need to know just exactly what kind of Muslim he was exposed to, what kind of Muslim he is, what kind of Muslim teachings he's friendly to. We have a right to know if he's a so-called friendly Muslim or one who aspires to more radical teachings.
Nothing wrong with that, says Michael Savage, but you can hear Muslim used as a kind of epithet there. Sometimes, even when there was defense, it was still somehow insulting. John McCain was in Lakeville, Minnesota, October 10th. You may have seen this video. A woman in the audience asserted Barack Obama's an Arab, a kind of synonym in many Americans' minds for Muslim, though, of course, there are many Arab Christians. But here's the tape of her suggestion and McCain's response.
I got to ask you a question. I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
He's an Arab? No, ma'am, he's not. He's a decent family man. A kind of hurtful compliment even there. And finally, Farouk Kathwari, Sabra Jafarzadeh, and Robert Azzi, listen with me. This is a bit longer, but here's Colin Powell on Meet the Press endorsing Barack Obama on October 19th. But he went beyond his endorsement to stand up for Muslim Americans.
I'm also troubled by not what Senator McCain says, but what members of the party say. And it is permitted to be said. Such things as, well, you know that Mr. Obama is a Muslim. Well, the correct answer is he is not a Muslim. He's a Christian. He's always been a Christian. But the really right answer is, what if he is? Is there something wrong with being a Muslim in this country? The answer is no, that's not America. Is there something wrong with some 70-year-old Muslim American kid believing that he or she could be president? Yet I have heard senior members of my own party drop this suggestion. He's a Muslim, and he might be associated with terrorists. This is not the way we should be doing it in America. I feel strongly about this particular point because of a picture I saw in a magazine. It was a photo essay about troops who were serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. And one picture at the tail end of this photo essay was of a mother in Arlington Cemetery. And she had her head on the headstone of her son's grave. And as the picture focused in, you could see the writing on the headstone. And it gave his awards, Purple Heart, Bronze Star, showed that he died in Iraq, gave his date of birth, date of death. He was 20 years old. And then at the very top of the headstone, it didn't have a Christian cross. It didn't have a Star of David. It had a crescent and a star of the Islamic faith. And his name was Karim Rashad Sultan Khan. And he was an American. He was born in New Jersey. He was 14 years old at the time of 9/11. And he waited until he can go serve his country, and he gave his life. Now, we have got to stop polarizing ourselves in this way. And John McCain is as non-discriminatory as anyone I know. But I'm troubled about the fact that within the party, we have these kinds of expressions.
Former General and Secretary of State Colin Powell on October 19th endorsing Barack Obama, but also stepping up to defend the full citizenship and status of Muslim Americans. And by the way, that is a very moving photograph that he references there. You can see it at our website, onpointradio.org, of the mother at her son's grave in Arlington National Cemetery. I'm joined by three American Muslims to look back on this campaign season and ahead to the Obama presidency. Farooq Khatwari is here, chairman and CEO of Ethan Allen. Sabra Jafarzadeh joins us from Washington. With me in the studio, Robert Azzi. Farooq Khatwari, first to you, as an American Muslim, what do you see this community having just come through in this election campaign season?
Well, Tom, let me first talk from a perspective of the positive elements.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's very positive that the majority of the Americans rejected this offensive discussion that was taking place. I would say it was un-American to the stereotyping that was taking place of Muslims. And I believe that today... we now have seen the strength of America in its diversity. And although I must also tell you that obviously I was saddened that there was not a forceful rejection of this hateful stereotyping. It took, as we heard General Colin Powell, to say the obvious, that what is wrong being a Muslim, and why should not a 7 or 8 year old boy or girl who happens to be a Muslim and not be inspired to become a president someday?
Why should they not? The question from Colin Powell, he's saying there's no reason. Sabra, you're 24 years old, closer to us, the 7-year-old, the young Muslim than anybody else with us right now, right here. How do you look at the tenor of this campaign season? Did you understand what was going on with these comments? How did you interpret the kind of demonization of Muslims in the presidential campaign?
Well, for me, it was more of looking back at the past 8 years, and Bush's administration has been really, I mean, I was 16 years old when he became president, and so he's really the only president that I've been able to experience as a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
But even within that presidency, I have felt the deterioration of the image of Islam in this country, and I think the way that Obama had to treat those accusations were not really a reflection on him as much as they were where this country has come within the past 8 years. And I don't think he was in a position to forcefully reject the accusations that he was Muslim, or to, you know, clarify that it's not a big deal even if he was. And I hope that now that he has become president, that he is in a better position to change the view of, you know, what it means to be a Muslim, or to be a person aspiring to become president in this country that isn't of the typical mold that we've had.
Mm. Robert Azzi, what do you make of what just happened in these campaign months and the kind of conversation we heard, the kind of use of Muslim as an epithet?
it's really bothered me. And I have to say that beyond people like Savage and Glenn Beck and the people in the campaign, I place a lot of the blame on the press because the press didn't rise to, I don't know whether it was a question of ignorance or agreement with these slurs, but they didn't examine what was happening in the race in a way that they would have done it had these slurs been directed at any other minority in this country. Islam in this country is in a very special place for us. In some ways, it's the most Sharia-compliant country in the world. It's a place where Muslims can practice their faith in a way that they can't, even in many Muslim countries. And it has a particular heritage, too. More than a third of the slaves that were brought over from Africa were Muslims. Mm. And so there's a long tradition here. And rather than building on tradition and making Muslims part of this community, there was an attempt in the last year to disenfranchise Muslims. And I also fault Obama for not stepping up. I understand why he did it. But there's a place where sometimes courage is necessary, even when you're running for president.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with American Muslims about the rough campaign season they've just been through, all of us, the hits they took, and their hopes for the Obama years and beyond. We're joined by Farouk Kathwari, CEO of Ethan Allen, and a longtime observer of what goes on in this country when it comes to religion and politics. Robert Azzi joins me. He's a freelance photojournalist, spent 30 years covering the Middle East for Time, National Geographic, Newsweek, and others. He's with me in the studio here. And from Washington, D.C., Sabra Jafarzadeh is with us. She grew up in Maryland, parents Iranian, 24 years old, is a law clerk in the U.S. District Court now for the District of Maryland. In the last couple months of the campaign, millions of Americans got a DVD with their newspaper. It was called Obsession, distributed in about 70 newspapers in swing states in September, around the anniversary of September 11th. Very tough. Let's listen to the ominous tone of it.
Some people view the current situation with the Middle East as a clash of civilization. I think it's more than that, way more than that. I think it's an outright declaration of war from radical Islam on Western culture, on the Judeo-Christian culture, and we should know that. It's a declaration of war.
Many people saw it. Many people heard it. Let's hear from our listeners. Ghassam calling from New Haven, Connecticut. You're on the air, Ghassam. Hi.
Yes, Tom. Hi. I'd like to comment about the woman from Minnesota when she asked Senator McCain, whether that he is an Arab, and mm-hmm. he said, no, ma'am, he is a decent family man.
Mm-hmm.
I found that when I was listening to it, my daughter was with me on the couch, and I hope that she didn't hear that because I found it shocking and offensive. I didn't know, like, if she asked me what that means, I would have been speechless. I'm an Arab. I'm from Palestinian origin.
Mm-hmm.
So I it was shocking to me because I expected somebody who is a senator who is aiming for the highest office in this country to be more sensitive to others. Like he should be aware that this is offensive, and if he is not aware that it's offensive, that's even more shocking. Another thing, I found it also crippling because I thought, well, maybe some of my students are watching this, even if a person aspiring to become a president is thinking that low of being an Arab or that negative. What are they going to think of me because I'm an Arab and I teach them Arabic here at Yale University?
Mm-hmm.
So some of them may have some inclinations, bad inclinations or bad feelings towards me, and they're hiding it or whatever. And even like 2 weeks later after Colin Powell comments on Meet the Press,
mm-hmm.
one of my students who is a German, she asked me, what do you think of the McCain's comments on being an Arab? I said I was shocked, but thanks God, Colin Powell answered that on Meet the Press, and I found it very relieving and very very sincere, very nice of him to come up.
You and many others feeling that relief, Ghassam, and thank you for your call. Farouk Kathwari, you watched American culture and politics for a long time. I mean, this season and its culmination in the vote must have been such a bittersweet experience. I mean, on the one hand, you do have
a president-elect now with Hussein as his middle name. He may be fully Christian, but this is a man who spent part of his childhood in Indonesia, knows Muslims, knows them as human beings, and has been elected president of the United States. On the other hand, some pretty rough going along the way. How do you see on balance what came out here, Farouk?
Well, you know, I was a student at New York University in the mid-1960s. I saw the civil rights movement. I saw Reverend King speaking. And now, it's hard to believe, but today, with all the problems, you know, politics is dirty. But I believe that Barack Obama represents, to me, the best of what America stands for. Diversity, opportunity, openness for change and evolution, regardless of ethnicity, religion, etc. And that is what brought me and lots of people of the Muslim backgrounds in the United States. Obama represents the immigrant experience and the American dream because of his background, Kenyan father, as you said, Caucasian mother, born and raised off the mainland, Hawaii, and also lived in Indonesia. He represents to me the American dream. And I'm pleased that I've had the opportunity to live this dream, to come out as a 20-year-old student, work in a print shop, and to be where I am. And I believe that the election of Obama reinforces this idea. However, there are a lot of myths. You talked about this question of this. We just heard this clash of civilization from
DVD. Yeah.
Yes, and I think that there is a tremendous need to dispel the myths that destructively feed the perception in the West that the West is at war with Islam. Now, these myths include, first, there's a fallacy that Islam is a monolithic religion, that almost a billion people somehow think alike, as if all Christians and all Jewish persons and all Hindus and Buddhists think alike. That is not the case. Another myth is that the Judeo-Christian and Islamic value systems are violently opposed to each other. Well, it's important to note that that is not the case. In fact, Islam is the third religion following the Abrahamic tradition. Another myth is that extremist violence and terrorism are mostly directed at the West. The fact is that countries with Muslim populations are the primary targets. And the final myth, which of course is what we heard all the time, is that somehow that the Muslim population in the West is a security threat. Well, while there are obviously pockets of extremism in all religions, the vast majority of Muslims are integrated. They strongly oppose violence and extremism. They are interested, like everybody else, in seeing a better economic policies, better healthcare policies, better environmental policy, and better governance. So I think we have had a major change. So I think we've got to look forward rather than the past.
Robert Azzi, you've been around the block. You've seen a lot here, and especially since 9/11, when Barack Obama got into the race, and everybody knew his personal history, his unique background. Did you see this coming? Was it worse than you expected it might be? Was it not as bad as you feared it might be? When you look back, for all the slights.
Actually, it's worse than I thought it was in many ways. I was first drawn to Obama when I heard that he had chosen Samantha Power as one of his advisors. And I thought, I mean, she wrote such an extraordinary book on genocide that a man that could be that forward-looking, who had actually in his life experienced being the other and witnessed the other as well, could bring that kind of intelligence and vision to wanting to run this country. And yet as the campaign progressed and I saw Robert Malloy being tossed overboard because of his positions on the Middle East, I saw Rashid Khalidi being demonized. Not by Obama.
Sarah Palin spoke to it.
But I didn't see Obama step up and say, this is wrong, what's happening is wrong. I didn't see the press challenge Robertson and Giuliani when Robertson demonized Giuliani. I thought that there was a place for Obama to bring all of the American community together. And what I saw was all the Americans except the Muslims were being brought into the public square.
I mean, he already had a minefield to get through.
Oh, he had a terrible minefield.
With race and his entire background and his fiery preacher in Chicago. I mean, was it too much to ask him to also be kind of defender of Muslims? Has he carried all that to the election day?
Of course it was too much to ask of him. But that didn't mean we didn't take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
It meant that for 9 months or so, we couldn't participate in the electoral process because so many of us thought, oh, my God, if I, a Muslim, endorsed Obama, it's just going to reinforce all that right-wing hatred that said, see, the Muslims are supporting him. So we had to basically bite our tongues for 9 months, and I resent that. I resent being, as an American, being put in that position.
Let's take a call from Harrisonburg, Virginia, and Margot. Hi, Margot, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I agree with Robert Azzi, but I wanted to say that I volunteered for the Obama campaign. I'm a Muslim American. But in June, I tried to contact the Obama campaign because I thought that they were being cowered into a corner of not saying anything about this religion baiting that was going on. And if they at that point had stood up and said what Colin Powell said, there's nothing wrong with being a Muslim in America, and turned the table around on the Republicans, it would have stopped right there. Instead, we had it going all through the election campaign. And I have two sons, one a teenager, one a preteen, and this was really stressful for them to live through. You know, they had so much hope invested in Obama, but also to see this negativity reflected back onto them constantly.
Were they aware of it, Margo? Were they following this news drip by drip, or was it just going over their heads?
No, they were. My sons are very engaged politically, so they were very aware of what was going on, and we would have long discussions about it. But I thought that it was an act of lack of courage from the Obama campaign, not from the candidate himself, but from the campaign, to not turn it around right at the beginning when it started and, you know, say to the Republicans, well, what is wrong with being a Muslim in America?
Margot, thank you for calling. Sabra, how about it? There was the infamous incident in Michigan where Obama staffers asked a couple, I believe, of Muslim young women who were wearing headscarves to move out of the line of the camera at an Obama rally so that they would not be associated on camera with the campaign. Now, Barack Obama called them personally later to apologize to each of them. But was that kind of thing enough, Sabra?
No, I think maybe a public statement would have been more appropriate. I mean, that to me was really hurtful. Even though I understood why he might not wanted to have brought the discussion to the forefront during the campaign, during the race. When something personal like that happens, I think that, you know, as someone running for office, he should have put the clamp down and made a more public apology.
Here's Barack Obama at the Unity 08 conference in Chicago in July, talking about how he had responded to the assertion that he was Muslim.
I just don't like the idea of somebody falsely identifying my religion. I suspect that you wouldn't appreciate that either. If you were a Muslim and somebody consistently said you were a Christian, I suspect that you would want to have that corrected. Because that's offensive to your faith.
Farouk Katwar, you know something about marketing and politics is not so different. Was it too much to ask Barack Obama to be more explicit in his defense of American Muslims during this campaign? Did he do okay by your lights or not?
Well, you know, hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah.
The main thing is that he has won. And he offers us a great, great opportunity going forward. Yes, as we heard from others, I think that he could have been more forceful and could have said, there's nothing wrong in being a Muslim. And I resent the fact that that kind of a hateful discussion is taking place. I've got two children who are, you know, passionate about Obama and what was taking place, and they were also hurt. Yet, I think the more important is that he offers a great, great opportunity, and I hope that he has also learned from this experience that he perhaps should have been somewhat more forceful, but as you rightly said, his objective was also to win, and he had to make some calculated decisions of how far he would go on in this area. And perhaps he was right, because in the end of the day, he won.
And had to ask some broad-mindedness from American Muslims along the way, I guess. Let's take a call from Windham, New Hampshire, and Sultan. Sultan, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you know?
I worked for the Barack Obama campaign for a couple of weeks, you know, real hard. Traditionally, Muslims, including myself, you know, voted for Republican Party many, many times all over. But I think the way they treated the Republican Party, especially their right-wing, extreme right, you know, like this campaign and other issues, Fox Channel and talk shows, the people were really, really disappointed and got alienated, and they were looking for a new home, and they went to Republican Party, the Democrat Party, and Barack Obama was one of, you know, the symbol of the diversity and all that. And so we kind of sacrificed social conservatism value that they represented towards finding respect someplace, and we tried to find a new home. And so most of the Muslim, even though Barack Obama did not really do a good job in terms of saying that, hey, what if I were a Muslim or somebody's a Muslim, as if he said that, what if somebody was black? Mm-hmm. So he did not that go one step further to say that. And he should have actually made a speech like he did on the race. He probably should have done that. But given all that, we still thought that he probably broke a lot of taboos, and maybe this will be, you know, a better place for us to go. So Muslim overwhelmingly voted for Barack Obama. And we hope that in the future, you know, unlike Mr. Bush, he would be more sensitive to Muslim values and Muslim issues, you know, Palestine and Kashmir and other issues, and plus some religious issues that we have in this country. So we have a lot of hopes from Barack Obama, and we hope that he will be a catalyst for a transformation from this such a bigotry against Muslims towards some reconciliation.
Sultan, thank you very much for your observation. Robert Azzi, I mean, I'm looking at the polls here. Muslims voted overwhelmingly for Barack Obama in the end in this election. But as Sultan points out, traditionally, many American Muslims have been Republican. A kind of a natural conservatism had been expressed at the polls. Do you see a long-term shift emerging from this season?
I think so. I think that Muslims, like a lot of evangelicals, you know, tend to vote family values, issues of faith, religion. But in this case, I think the demonization helped to move them. Islam is really a religion of social justice. It's about social justice. And they began to realize, I think many of them, that they weren't going to find that any longer in the Republican Party. And so they moved their hope over to Obama. And so, you know, as I have, you know, in spite of all my qualms, in spite of the criticisms, you know, I think that there's only a way forward with Obama that we never would have had McCain been elected. I don't see that happening.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with American Muslims about the rough campaign season we've just been through, the hits they took, and their hopes for the Obama years and beyond. Sabra Jafarzadeh is with us. She's a law clerk at the U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland, grew up in Maryland, parents Iranian, 24 years old. Robert Azzi joins me in the studio, longtime photojournalist, 30 years covering the Middle East for National Geographic, Time, Newsweek, and more. You've probably seen his photographs. And from New Rochelle, New York, we're joined by the chairman and CEO of Ethan Allen Interiors, American home furnishings giant, born in Kashmir, came to the U.S. for his MBA, and now heads as chairman and CEO. Ethan Allen, Farooq Kathwari is with us. They've all been watching. Let's take a call from Anne-Marie in Elmore, Vermont. Anne-Marie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much.
Yes.
My question was, I'm not Muslim. I was very offended at how it was treated throughout the campaign, and while I kind of wish Obama could have stepped up and said, "What does it matter?" I feel that he may have risked the election by doing that, and that speaks more to the country than I think it does to him. And so my question is, what's it going to take to get a constitution that's not a Christian constitution anymore?
But, well, we have a constitution that is, of course, secular. We have a history that has religion woven through it, but we have a constitution that's pretty clear on that front, as Colin Powell pointed out.
Well, what's it going to take then to get religion out of politics? I guess when are we going to start actually living by our Constitution? How's that?
it's a good question. It's the question Colin Powell raised, I guess. I mean, part of what went on here, we heard on the campaign trail candidates talking about sort of who was the real American and who wasn't. There was, of course, the famous Sarah Palin speech in Greensboro, North Carolina, mid-October. Let's listen to just a little bit of that. She was describing the real America. This is the best audio we could find from that event.
We believe that the best of America is in these small towns that we get to visit and in these wonderful little pockets of what I call real America, being here with all of you, hardworking, very patriotic, very pro-America.
These wonderful little pockets of real America, Sarah Palin talking about there. Robert Azzi, what about it? I mean, on the one hand, you could say the United States has just stepped up and done something pretty remarkable in this election. On the other, our caller Anne Marie says, when are we going to fully embrace the Constitution's impartiality on this front?
In the town where I live, there is a candidate for a state office whose name, although of German extraction, sounded Arab and was used against her. And, in fact, in subsequent campaigns, they had to take her name off. Her last name didn't appear on the advertising simply because it just became a focus of attacks on the Republican side. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't think it's over yet. I don't think that Obama's ready to move forward. Rahm Emanuel's father,
the newly named chief of staff from the north side of Chicago,
right, mm-hmm. Gave an interview to, excuse the pronunciation, either Marev or Mariv, an Israeli newspaper, and it was reported in the Jerusalem Post, and I paraphrase that Rahm Emanuel, it's good for Israel that Rahm Emanuel has been appointed because he's going to be there. And he's in the White House. He's not an Arab. He's not there to be washing floors. And
in other words, here's a Jewish leader of note who will have influence on American policy.
He will have influence, and mm-hmm. he's not there simply as a day laborer or as a domestic. And if such a kind of comment
diss on Arabs as he speaks to the importance of his son's position.
Right. Mm-hmm. If someone else had dissed another minority group in this country, this would have been played all over the papers and Rahm Emanuel would have been asked to distance himself from his father's comments. But because in this case the victims were Muslims / Arabs, because they're often conflated in this country, there's only been a peep on the blogs. But if you read the international press, it's all over there. The Arabs noticed what Rahm Emanuel's father said. And we need to care what other people read and see about this country.
Sabra, are you hopeful that given Barack Obama's background and the kind of culture-spanning profile of it, that over time he will bring a different message, different outlook from the White House?
I hope so. If you look at, well, what he says and the spirit that he seems to portray is that he would like to take these big controversial issues one step at a time. I mean, the way that he has discussed gay rights in this country has been that let's do small things first. For example, the right to visit your loved one in the hospital, and mm-hmm. we'll get to the issue of gay marriage later. And I think that maybe my hope is that with the issue of Muslims in America, it will be the same type of approach where he is reluctant to approach the issue head on because it might, create a polarization that we've already seen in this country, and I can understand why he's hesitant of that. But I do hope that he will take, small measures and towards addressing the issue of Muslims in America.
Step by step, here we go. Let's go to Chuck in Concord, Massachusetts. Chuck, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
As a Mitt Romney supporter, I became very sensitive to the religion issue, and I would make mental notes. I just think one elderly woman's comments in a crowded hall, I think John McCain quickly shot her down, took the microphone, mm-hmm. corrected her statement. Perhaps he didn't word it perfectly, but he did it on his feet, and it was a
right. It was in the moment.
Yes, a polite applause. There was no, you know, hissing. And I thought it was, in basically bottom line, Barack was soundly elected. And perhaps we're making too much of this issue. I going back to being a Mitt Romney supporter, he would constantly be barraged right to his face about his religion. And yeah, I won't say it's all behind us, but perhaps we're making too much of this. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Chuck, for calling. Farooq Athwari, how about it? Mitt Romney had to face questions about his Church of the Latter-day Saints, Mormon religion, when he was in the Republican primary contest. You know, our caller Chuck says, hey, all things considered, maybe this wasn't so bad.
Yeah, Tom, I agree. I think that, you know, one has to have a perspective. It's almost amazing to see what's happened in the last 40 years, especially in the last few years. I think as we go forward, these kind of discussions, first of all, thank you for having this discussion, bringing this issue up. My wish is that we should now end using these hyphenated Americans, you know, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, or Jewish Americans, or Muslim Americans. You know, we are all Americans. I don't hear of saying that, you know, Christian Americans or European Americans. There are some, these hyphenated things are left for a few. I think we have the opportunity now of saying that we are all Americans and not start stereotyping, because we help stereotyping when we start putting these hyphens between our names. And I think that Barack Obama has the opportunity to bring and to restore the best American values in our dealings with the rest of the world. That are insisting on free societies, freedom of speech, rule of law, protection of minorities. And, you know, we must also accept the outcome of local elections when they take place in other countries. I think these are very, very positive opportunities. We shouldn't be perceived. For instance, we're talking of major conflicts in the world. Mm-hmm. We mustn't be perceived to create them. We must be perceived as bringing peace and resolving issues. And that is where we have the opportunity. And I think that we have a great, great opportunity of changing the perception in the West somehow we have this conflict going on and the clash of civilizations. Mm-hmm. I think Barack Obama has a great opportunity of moving forward. I think now that he has got a mandate from the people, a large mandate, he should be more bold, and he has an opportunity of doing it.
Let's hear from Dan in Salem, Massachusetts. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank
Hi.
You.
Yes.
Well, a few months ago, there was an article in Newsweek, and I think by Ellis Coase, and it said, "If you were, what if you were a Muslim?" And I thought about that, and I wrote an essay, "If you were a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew." And what I basically believe is that most people are born into a religion, but that doesn't really express what they believe. And I think it's important to ask a candidate, if they're a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, actually, what do they believe? And personally, I think Americans have the right to say, based on what that candidate says they believe, that I don't think those beliefs are good for the country or for America. Pat Robertson ran for president. A lot of evangelical or fundamentalist Christians, and I've talked to them, they believe that if you don't accept Jesus, you go to hell. Well, there are a lot of Muslims who believe that Islam is the only valid, legitimate religion. The Quran is the perfect word of God. I don't want a candidate to be president who believes that.
But why raise that with Barack Obama when he's not a Muslim in the first place? What's going on there, Dan?
Okay, well, the point is that in some ways, you know, you could say that Americans have been intolerant, suspicious of Islam, but based on the attack of 9/11, I think that most Americans have actually shown a lot of tolerance. What's been missing is, I think, a serious discussion about what religions actually teach and what they believe. It's legitimate, I think, to say, if someone in America has Christian views that, you know, say they believe that an American soldier who dies fighting for freedom, if they're not a Christian born again in Jesus, that they go to hell, that a lot of Americans would be troubled by that.
But it sounds like you want to interrogate Obama about Islam when he's not Muslim.
No, of course not. Of course not. But there's been a lot of reaction saying, so what if you were Muslim? That shouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm saying it should be an issue, and people should say, what do they believe as a Muslim? Okay? What are their beliefs? I've been studying religion, talking with Muslims, Christians, and Jews, and I think there are certain religious beliefs that many yeah. people find troubling in America.
Yeah, Dan, I think we've got the perspective, and thanks for your call, Dan. Robert Azzi. All right, here we are. Obama's not Muslim. Nevertheless, the caller brings up the question, if a candidate were Muslim, wouldn't it be fair to ask about exactly what that means? I'm not sure where we go with that, but there's the concern in the midst of it that there's something about the Islamic faith in particular, though he speaks to Christian fundamentalists as well, that may be absolutist and somehow itself at odds with the American Constitution.
Well, there's no conflict between Islam and democracy, and Islam and the Constitution, as far as I understand. Mm-hmm. Actually, Muslims believe that everyone is born with something called fitra. It's an innate goodness and knowledge of God. And it's the parents, it's the people who raise them that make them Jews or Christians or, you know, of whatever faith. What we believe is that how people act to their fellow humans, to act in cases of social justice, those are the issues. What they believe is not the issue as a Muslim. What this person thinks he understands about Islam is clearly not what we as Muslims believe is our religion, and it shouldn't matter. It is a question of public record, and it's a question of personal action that a Muslim should be able to be to aspire to be president and could be a president. And there's no conflict between that and democracy, as far as I know.
That's Colin Powell's point. Rafia is calling from Falmouth, Massachusetts. Rafia, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom, for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know I'm here in this country from 30 years. I just, became 16 when I come into this country, and this country looks like, you know, my original country, and mm-hmm. democracy has all its, Islamic values, you know, like freedom of religion, respect for everything. And then when I was very much hurt with the media, especially the right wing, and I'm Republican, but I didn't vote for, McCain. And I got a little bit hurt from Obama also not standing for Muslims, but I understand his positions, but I voted for Obama. And my kids were hurt, they're in college, and I'm very nervous talking to you. Mm. Even my husband, for the first time, voted Democrat, and I think Obama has some hope for us, taking America in the right direction. Everybody is equal. Tom, I pray 5 times, first for the safety of this country. Americans should know that Muslims love peace, and Islam stands for peace. And
Rafi, you're great, and I appreciate your call very much. Thanks for coming in with it. Sabra, you're 24. Again, you're the youngest here. When you look forward, do you look forward to a lifetime in which this recedes as an issue, or are you looking forward to 4 years in which it recedes as an issue, or is that too much to hope for?
I hope that it recedes, throughout my lifetime. I think that, Obama brings the issue of diversity to the forefront, and I hope that throughout his presidency that becomes not just an issue of race but also one of religion, and that we become more open to it. I think that the way that his foreign policy issues and the way that he and because those issues are very important, I think, to Muslim Americans, I think the way that he approaches those issues will define the way that Muslim Americans are treated in this country.
And young Muslim Americans more alienated by what they saw in the last 6-8 months or heartened by what they saw last Tuesday?
I think they're more heartened. I think that a lot of the people who I have spoken to really viewed the way that Obama treated the issue of whether he was Muslim in his religion as more of a tactical decision. And I think that for me and my peers, it was an issue of at what cost is he going to bring the issue of religion and your choice of religion to his campaign. I think that, I would rather see Obama prevail in the campaign and him not bring up the issue versus
if you had to choose.
Right.
Maybe one day we won't. With that, we're out of time. Sabra Jafarzadeh in Washington, you're very good for joining us today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Farouk Khatwari, Chairman and CEO of Ethan Allen, joining us from New Rochelle, New York. Mr. Khatwari, thank you very much for your time today.
Yes, thank you very much. Good to be with you.
And Robert Azzi with me in the studio. Thanks for your time, Robert. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Again, I encourage you to look at the photo at our website of the mother of the American soldier slain in Iraq, Karim Rashad Sultan Khan, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.